Thank you, Jake and choir. You have your Bible. We're going to move away from Luke this morning to the book of James, the fifth chapter, a passage we touched on when we studied the book of James, but going to look at it a little more in depth. James, the fifth chapter and the seventh verse. James is in the New Testament in most of your Bibles. Fifth chapter, seventh verse. Be patient, therefore, brothers, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be you, therefore, patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Grudge not one against another, brothers, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Take my brothers, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, and the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brothers, swear not neither by heaven, nor by the earth, neither by any oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take now your word, that you would challenge us in this place, in this hour. Father, I pray that we would be different. I pray that we would be more committed to you than ever before. I pray for those that are here that don't know you, Father, that they would be saved today. Father, I pray that our nation would be healed. And Father, I thank you for what you're going to accomplish in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible teaches that there will be a difficult day coming, that there will be serious times of trouble and persecution for believers before the Lord returns. There's going to be an increasing persecution as we get closer and closer and closer to Jesus coming again. Paul says to Timothy, this know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. There are going to be a special time of temptations and pressure placed upon believers in those last days. Those who first read these words, those that read the book of James the first time, were facing great persecution. They were facing a great time of trouble. They needed to stand firm for God. But James wrote to an early church that really wasn't prepared. James wrote to a people that really were too weak to stand. They were experiencing persecution they hadn't gotten ready for. They hadn't been prepared for what they were facing. They needed help. Now, there have always been those that have stood against the church since day one. There have always been those that have stood against God and his desires. The Lord has promised that there will be an increased difficulty. Above what has been normal, there will be those that stand against what God desires. I want to be very clear. We have been blessed in this country. You've got to know that. We have been blessed as Christians in this country. Those of you that stood because you have served our nation, you have been part of the reason that we have been able to be blessed. From our founding, blood has been shed. Men and women have laid down their very lives so that we might be free to worship our God. Thank the Lord for what he has given us in the United States. But the United States has had it easy, so easy, that we have come to a time that many on our church rolls have started taking the fact of worship for granted. And they take it just kind of as if it was a take it or leave it thing. Now, we are proud of Georgia Baptist, and we are proud to be aligned with the Georgia Baptist Convention. But let me tell you one of the tragedies of our state. Only one third of those who are Georgia Baptists come to worship. Now, what that means is two thirds 2/3 of church members, and that includes our church members, 2/3 that don't come into God's house are either out of fellowship with God or they don't know God at all. You want to know where the weakness of America lies? That is where it lies. With people that do not stand for God because they don't know God. For people that don't stand for God because they won't worship God. Did you know that there are people in the world today that love Jesus and are putting their lives on the line this very day in order to get together and worship? They're risking their all. Apparently, those people have found out how to stand. Shouldn't we? In the past, our persecution in the United States has been limited. How limited? Well, persecution in the United States in the past has been limited to maybe not getting a 10% discount when you go to lunch and show your bulletin. Not very much. Today, I'm sorry to tell you that that is changing. Persecution is growing in this country. Amnesty International says that persecution worldwide is growing. 149 countries are now openly persecuting Christians. That organization reports that Christians are now the world's most persecuted faith group. Beheadings, torture, rape, kidnappings, imprisonment, and violent death because of faith in Jesus Christ proves that persecution is on the rise. In a recent year, 165,000 Christians were slaughtered because they believe in Jesus. We are told now that we can expect 100,000 such martyrs every year. We're in a world where persecution is on the upswing. Now, we blame everything that comes up recently on ISIS or ISIL. By the way, if you're confused, I was too, so I went to someone to find out. They are exactly the same, and the name means exactly the same. Just a little different acrostic there, but ISIS and ISIL. So if you hear one or the other, they're talking about the same people. They are not taking a lesser view. They're just known by both names. If I had their purpose, I wouldn't want to be known by any name. ISIS assaulted northern and western Iraq as well as Syria, and now it has been documented that they left behind mass graves full of the bodies of Christian martyrs. This is now. This isn't in the ancient days. This is now. ISIS announced that Christians in Raqqa, Syria must convert to Islam, or pay a tax for being Christian, or die. And many times death comes anyway. Now, I know as you're hearing that, it seems far, far, far away, because we're in the United States, and our persecution here has been limited. And praise God, it's been limited. But the fact that it has been limited does not mean that it will continue to be limited if those of us who believe in Jesus don't stand up for Jesus. We find ourselves in a time today that if you stand for Jesus, you're going to be called a bigot. Isn't that ironic? Jesus, the most loving, compassionate, most inclusive individual that has ever lived or ever will live, you follow him and now you're a bigot. Well, for the rest of my days, I'm okay with being a bigot if it's a bigot for Jesus. You remember last year, of course, when the mayor of Houston, Texas, issued that order that local clergy needed to submit their sermons to her office. That was kind of a shot across the bow, and we didn't know it. Now, that summons was later withdrawn, but it did show a climate that was against believers. And by the way, they have put that on the ballot to vote on it. To outlaw what they call hate speech, what we would call Bible. It's hard to recognize at the time, but I want you to think back to how short a time that was ago that we were all aghast that a mayor of one of our largest cities would come against pastors in a church for what they preached. And in the short time from there to here, we have widespread acceptance of same-sex marriage. We have widespread acceptance and encouragement to accept in every venue those who hold to same-sex relationships. We have recently the widespread move to tell individuals that it doesn't really matter what sex they are, they can choose their sex. And you know, they can choose their own sex, they can attend and go to any restroom they desire, no matter how it is designated. After all, we have to give them liberty. Seems to me somebody should be concerned about those that actually know what their sex is and which bathroom they should go to. Now, I don't think anybody should ever be dealt with harshly an attitude of seeking to put them down and seeking to belittle them. That shouldn't be our case. We should always have a finger that points people to Jesus and to his love and to his compassion and to his forgiveness. But my goodness, people, we've got to stand up in this country. We have to stand up for what is right. We have to stand up for what God teaches in his word. James is speaking to believers who face great persecution, and he's writing to equip them for the difficulties that are just going to increase. They needed to know how to stand. We need that same encouragement. How do you stand when troubles come your way? How do you stand when people in leadership in your government stands against your faith? How do you continue to stand when the times are bad and it seems like they're getting worse? Well, fortunately, God tells us what to do. How do we stand as believers today? We stand like James told them to stand in his day. Stand in patience. In verse 7, be patient, therefore, brothers, unto the coming of the Lord. There is a truth believers can hold on to when things get tough. I know we say it a lot and you hear it and it goes in one ear and out the other, but I want you to know this is the day to hold on to the truth that Jesus is coming again. That is our encouragement. That is what God gives us to hold on to. The truth that Jesus will come will allow God's people to stand no matter how tough it gets. Because listen, no matter how hard it gets here, this isn't the end. Jesus is coming. No matter how much people come against me, they can come against me, but that won't stop. Jesus is coming. No matter who believes different from me, no matter who stands different from me, no matter who belittles me for standing on God's word, it doesn't matter because Jesus is coming. There is encouragement in the truth. The great Bible teacher G. Campbell Morgan said, "The coming of the Lord is the perceptual light shining on the path which makes this present bearable." We're to stand in patience. That means we're to stand fast. It means we're to hold to the faith no matter what others say. Listen, the government doesn't choose God's word. God has given his word. We need to hold to it. It doesn't matter what the government says. It doesn't matter what other individuals say. We are to hold to God's word in patient faith, believing he will work out his purposes. The early Christians had a code word they had used. Now, if you've been around for a while, you know the code word. It was a little simple word they would say to one another. They would say it sometimes as they were being hauled away to die. They would say, "Maranatha." And when they would say "Maranatha," it would quicken the spirit of the person that heard it. "Maranatha, Maranatha, the Lord is coming." My friend, you may be taken off to be killed by a gladiator in an arena, but Jesus is coming. Hold to that truth. Hold to the reality of what God says in his word. In this truth, they got strength to stand in patience. In fact, this truth allowed them to face whatever hardship came their way. The Bible tells us we can know Jesus is going to come again. A lot of verses on this, just for a few. Luke 21:28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. In Titus it says, look for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus. In 2 Peter we find, looking for and hastening into the coming day of the Lord. Stand in patience in the things you have no control over. But while you stand in patience in the things you can't control, follow the Lord in what you can control. He gives an example of a farmer. A farmer, we're living in a day where there are not a lot of farmers among us. There are some, and you can go to a farmer and you can talk to a farmer about how they do their crops and how they plan and how they reap. The farmer who plants the seed must have patience to wait on his crop. You can't force a crop to sprout. You can do the work, you can do the labor, but you can't force it. You have no control over the weather at all. Listen, if there's too much rain, the crops can drown. Too little rain, the crops will burn up. The farmer must be patient. It can't be too hot, too cold. You can't control those things. Farmer just has to wait. The farmer must tend his crops, plant his crops, weed his crops, and then finally wait on his crops. Listen, believer, there are things we have control over, and there are things we don't have control over. Case in point, we're in the midst of a political election year. Now, at this point, we have absolutely no control over who the candidates will be for president. You can think you do, but you don't. Our time has come and gone. Those things are being picked, and we're not picking. There are many people would say, you know, the truth is, I don't like the choices. Well, guess what, dear one? Whether you like the choices or not, there will be choices, and they will be put before you. And if you don't have any control over that, just understand you have to exercise God's will in what you do have control over. Let me tell you what's an abomination. There is the common thought, I'll sit this one out. That is the absolute worst thing you can do. You got to trust God enough to lead you enough that you will pull that lever, or you will check that box, or you will go and vote for the person God leads you to vote for, and that person, whoever they are, is a person that lines up more with what you believe in the Bible than the other. And that's how you make your choice. Well, Brother Jerry, there's nobody that believes exactly like me. I don't know that I believe exactly like you. But you know what? Here's the truth. In our land today, we may never, ever have another opportunity to vote for someone who is exactly like us in faith. Now, I hope that's not true. But for president, it seems that that's the way things are headed. We have to choose those that are closest. We have to choose those that believe as much as possible, that will give us the greatest opportunity to stand on God's word, give us the greatest opportunity to continue to have freedom to worship, and who will stand for an opportunity for a pastor to at least proclaim the word of God. Last year, Josh McCoon in our city, our state senator, fought for religious liberty in Georgia, and he was nailed to the wall. Almost solo act. Now, Josh is a Catholic. He is a professing Christian. But, I applaud the fact that he tried to stand for a religious liberty act that would defend our right in churches to continue to have freedom in worship. Now, yes, our government gives us that in other ways, but this was a very clear issue. What won the day? Money. Our governor was bought. Now, for whatever reason, he felt it best to go with the money crowd instead of the crowd that was seeking faith. That's a difficult thing. It was a difficult position for him to be in and a difficult choice to make. But who would have ever thought in Georgia we would not stand for religious liberty? Now, in fact, our houses of government passed the legislation. It just got vetoed when it got to the governor in Georgia. You see, we are in a day where we are going to have to stand up for what's right. And the things we can do something about, let's do something about them. And the things we can't do anything about, you know what you do? You give it to the Lord and you trust Him, just like that farmer has to trust that those crops are going to come up. Stand in preparation. In verse 8, be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. The trying times of life are not times to stop trying. Times of trouble, times of temptation, times of persecution. These are the times to establish your heart. Listen, my friend, we need to get closer to God now because it may get worse later. We have to prepare ourselves. To establish your heart literally means to put iron in your heart. Now, putting iron in your heart is different from having lead in your pants. Putting iron in your heart doesn't slow you down. Putting iron in your heart is strengthening your heart in God's word so you will stand when the difficulties come across your way. And they're going to come in one way or another, and you need to stand. It may be by sickness. It may be by the loss of a loved one. It may be by a hardship of the church. It may be by a fallen believer. It may be by something you can't see at all. But when the difficulties come, you already need to be established in God's word so you can stand. Paul told believers, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established." We prepare our hearts to stand by getting into God's word and getting God's word into us. Folks, Sunday school is important for you and for me. It is important for us to get God's word into our hearts. It's important for us to get God's word into our lives. We need to be studying God's word together. This is a day, you know what churches are doing with Sunday school? Many churches are doing away with Sunday school. Now I ask you, if you've got God lined up and you've gotten the devil lined up, which one of those would want to do away with Sunday school? You know, we need to support. How do you support Sunday school? By showing up. I had one fellow tell me a few years ago, he said, "I don't need to go to Sunday school anymore. I've already learned it all." Well, I will tell you that most of us have not learned it all. And if you have learned it all, you need to be teaching Sunday school and sharing what you've learned. And you need to be growing in that area and reaching people and getting God's word hidden in your heart. If you want to be prepared for difficult days, you got to get God's word into you today. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God." I wish I had held more to God's word in the days that I turned against God. Would that I had. I can't do anything about those days, but I can do something about the days that are coming. Study the word. Meditate on the word. Memorize the word. We have Awanas. What a great thing it is that we're putting the word of God into children. And you need to get your children here to Awanas. And we need workers for Awanas that we teach them the word of God. They're memorizing God's word. And guess what, adults? We need to memorize God's word. Now, I don't know about you, but this is something I found. I have found that there are scriptures that I know I have memorized that all of a sudden aren't there anymore. Just like a computer loses files, my brain has lost some files. I know it's up there, but I can't recall them. So you know what? I need to go back and remember them. I need to memorize again. And we need to keep putting God's word into our hearts and God's word into our lives. You never know when you're going to be laying flat on your back in some hospital somewhere and not be able to hold a Bible, and you'll want to call back God's word to your heart and mind. How do you think you can stand in difficult days if you've ignored the opportunities God has laid before you openly to get in His Word? Could there be a day coming for Christians that you're not able to have an open dialogue on the Bible because it's considered hate speech? Could that day be in our path? I pray that that would not be so in our country. But listen, if no one will stand, anything can happen. And so we must stand. Now James reminds us in preparation, we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's not enough just to read the Bible. You got to start applying the Bible. In preacher vernacular, you got to practice what you preach. You got to do what you say. We are not prepared if we don't show love to others. We're not prepared if we don't forgive all. We're not prepared if we don't share our faith. We're not prepared if we do not tithe. We are not prepared if we don't show kindness. In 5:9, he says, "Murmur not against one another, brothers, lest you be judged. Behold, the judge stands at the door." Difficult days squeeze in on us, and it gets tough. And when difficult days squeeze in on you, that is not an excuse to act like a jerk. Those of us who know the Lord need to always act like we know the Lord. We should not become more fussy, more cantankerous. The more we get close to Jesus, the sweeter we should become. God expects His children to act in kindness, no matter the circumstances, no matter who we face. Make spiritual preparations because, verse 8, the Lord draws near, the judge is at the door. The Lord draws near, the judge is at the door. The Lord draws near. His coming is imminent. His coming can be at any time. I know you've heard this your whole life, and I know you're saying, yeah, Jesus is coming again. You got to understand, even if you don't think He's coming today, you got to understand His coming is closer than it has ever been. And yes, with this world like it is, I believe it is soon. Jesus is coming again. And the judge is at the door. Listen, when the judge comes, the judge will judge. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so there is a judgment day coming. We need to get as many people to Jesus as possible. His coming is nearer. Let me give you another bit of information to hold on to. Not only is His coming nearer, but our going is nearer. You're not going to stay on this planet forever. I want to be ready if He comes today, and I want to be ready if I go today. Stand in patience. Stand in preparation. Then stand in proof. In verse 10, take my brothers, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering and affliction of patience. Now, the prophets were guys that spoke the word of God before there was a written word of God. And they held to God's word as He gave it to them. And that word of God was proof as they saw it bear out in truth before them. And so Daniel was faithful. He prepared his heart. He was able to stand safely through the night in front of a group of hungry lions. Noah stood on God's word. He told of a flood that was coming. Listen, Noah didn't build a big church. Noah didn't get the masses to surround him. At the end of the day, there was Noah, there was Mrs. Noah, and there was his kids and their families. But let me tell you, we are living in a day that if you can live your life, and at the end of your life, you got your spouse and you got your children and you got their families knowing Jesus, you've accomplished something. And that's what we should all pray for and all seek to do. This passage primarily speaks of Job. It talks of Job's patience. Now, when I read of Job, I don't see a very patient guy. But then you realize that word patience means to bear up under the load. Job was in a situation like we are in, and he was able to bear up under the load. There's going to be more pressure, and you need to be able to stand under the load. This is what Job did. Think of what happened to Job. Job's friends turned against him. Job's wife told him, curse God and die. What did Job do? He kept on believing, kept on trusting, kept on standing. How did he do it? Listen, by the graves of his children that died, he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To his wife that told him to curse God and die, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. How did Job stand so strongly? How did he keep to the faith when he lost it all? How did he keep to the Lord when his family was taken away, when his friends just spit upon his life? How did he stand? This is how. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth. Job said, Jesus is coming. That's how he stood. Standing firmly on the truth that the end is not come. Jesus is coming. And just as God has kept his word in the past, God will keep his word in the days to come. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe you have cancer today. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming. Maybe you've got stress in your home. I want you to know, Jesus is coming. Maybe you have friends that have turned against you. Listen, Jesus is coming. The only way that knowledge becomes important to you is, one, you got to know Jesus. And if you're here and you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart, I want you to know he's coming, but I want you to know he went to the cross for you. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose for you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to save your soul that you may be ready in the day when he comes again. And if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, please come and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Just come forward and say, I want Jesus. Plain and simple. Very simple. We'll pray together and Jesus will come into your heart today. You'll be saved this very day. Believer, there has never been a day when we have needed you to stand more than now. Perhaps today you just need to come to the altar and you need to pray that you will be able to stand. That you will stand right. That you will stand on the right things at the right time. That you'll not back away from what God desires. Maybe you need to come and be part of this church family. Maybe you need to come and pray for those in our nation that need Jesus. As God calls you, I hope you'll come. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask now that you would move within our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make, how we praise you for the knowledge that Jesus is coming. And Father, how we know that in this room there are some that have never met Jesus. And Father, were you to come today, they would be on the outside looking in. They would be separated from you from all eternity. And Father, today they need to get ready by coming to Jesus. Give them the courage to step out, to come forward, just to say, I want Jesus. For believers, oh Lord, if we have gotten away from you, I pray that you would call us back to your will and your way. Father, that we would come to you for forgiveness and we would accept that, Father, and we would be willing to stand with you. Father, just lead those that need to come to the altar to come. Father, perhaps to pray for their own lives, perhaps to pray for the lives of others, perhaps to pray for our nation. Father, I thank you that Jesus is coming. I pray, Father, that that will ring in our hearts every day that we live, and Father, we will stand for you as a result. Move within us now toward decision. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, you come.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he is waiting and watching, watching for you.
Be seated.